Our reading today comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16 through chapter 6, verse 2. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be a sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor, I heard you, and in the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation.
I pray, Lord, your anointing on Dan, and I thank you for this awesome privilege of sharing in his words with all of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Good morning, friends. It's good to be here. This is my second visit to your church. What a privilege it is for me to receive gracious words of welcome from Dr. Pastor Ken. We also want to thank you, my wife Sarah and I, for your sacrificial support of our ministry in the Middle East. Most people may not remember me well, or maybe some of you are new here. So let me give you a little bit of information about myself. When people look at me and say, you've been in the Middle East for 20 years, so you must be Lebanese. I said, no, I'm not Lebanese. They said, oh, then you must be an Arab. I said, no, I'm actually from India. I grew up in a small, dusty village in South India. My father was an itinerant evangelist. He would go on his bicycle preaching the gospel. He founded or planted four churches in villages of South India. And a little later, we moved from that village to Serampore College, where my father became a teacher. Serampore College may not ring a bell to you, but that was a college founded by the great Baptist missionary William Carey. And the bedroom that my brother and I occupied was the room that Carey supposed to have died in. So I don't know that has anything to do. Maybe I will get a free entry into heaven just by the very fact that I was sleeping in Carey's in a room where he passed away. But that's the history of mine. Later on, we moved to Calcutta. My father then became a pastor of a Baptist church for 27 years. And two people that passed through my life as I was a young boy there. On every Friday, a young novitiate, a Catholic nun, would come. My dad was a stickler for flowers around the church. We lived in the parsonage behind the church. And every Friday, she would come for fresh cut flowers, because Friday is a day of Mass in the Catholic Church. And those flowers are going to adorn the communion table of a Catholic church where Mother Teresa was the one who lived there. Every so often, I would see a woman passing through the railings of the church. I would look through. Not very well dressed, rather scruffy looking lady. That was Mother Teresa. She would walk, always walking. She would catch the tram at the corner of the street. And that's to the left of me as I come out of the church. As I come out, I turn right through a narrow lane. I would frequently see a group of Americans. I would assume they're Americans. I didn't know at that time. They're tall guys in the 60s, long hair, hippies, you know. And they had flip-flop bags. They were carrying books. And I would see them frequently in the city, distributing books. And the man, head of the team, the tall, lanky guy, was a man by name George Verver. George Verver founded Operation Mobilization, one of the most bravest evangelist missionaries I have ever met in the Middle East are the OM missionaries preaching the gospel, standing in the corner in Beirut preaching the gospel to the Iranian tourists who come to the beaches of Beirut to watch there, and they would be there preaching the gospel. So my life unconsciously was molded by the deeds of Mother Teresa, by the word of George Werver. The word and the deed became part of my DNA, though I wasn't aware of that at that young age. And I believe that shaped me, my understanding what God wants us to do wherever we are, whether we're in the Middle East, whether we're in North America, wherever we are. The word and the deed together make up God's word. Sarah and I have been ministering in Lebanon for past 20 years. I was a professor, Sarah was a librarian, but both of us have moved on. I am now a part-time teacher, very much an adjunct faculty, teaching only one course. Seminary has released me to follow my passion. My passion is to share the good news of the gospel. 5 years ago, we established a gospel outreach through the assistance of a businessman based right here in Cincinnati. We called it Arab World Initiative. And now we are now supporting 16 missionaries in 8 countries. Middle East and North Africa consists of 21 countries with a population of 275 million people. Arab world is really a much neglected part of the mission field. We are the first missionaries ever appointed to the Arab world. And we are a mission society that is 200 years old. 5 years ago, I felt the Arab world is being transformed. This is the time for us to engage the Arab world, not run away from the Arab world because out of fear. Last year, we changed the name of Arab World Initiative to Enduring Love, based on 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul's admonition with the power of love to transform the hearts of men and women. The vision of Enduring Love is to enable the good news of Jesus Christ through word and deed to reach the Arab Muslims in both Middle East and North Africa. While missionaries from the West will continue to play important role in certain specific areas, I believe with all my heart, evangelism, discipleship, church planting should be undertaken by Arabs themselves. They know the language, they know the culture, they know the people better than anybody else. That is my vision. How do we enable the Arabs to take the gospel to the Arabs? The primary focus of Enduring Love is to evangelize the Arab world. We recruit most of our, I wouldn't say most, a good number of our missionaries are Muslim converts themselves, and others are Christian Arabs. We have missionaries in Morocco, Tunisia, Egypt, Sudan, Iraq, Syria, and Lebanon. The most exciting news is we just started supporting a Yemeni Sunni Muslim who came to faith in Jesus Christ. He is ministering among the Yemeni refugees. I don't know if you're aware of it. Yemen is involved in civil war in Horn of Africa. The country right next to it is Ethiopia. There are thousands of Yemeni Muslim refugees in Ethiopia, and this evangelist will be working among the Yemeni refugees in Ethiopia. It is an amazing way God is opening up to the Arab world. These bad times are also good times for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Without in any way minimizing the human suffering, God is opening the door of opportunity for us. Don't be discouraged. You hear all kinds of stories about Middle East. They're about to kill us. They're about to strap on bombs and kill us. I say nothing is further away from the truth. Much of the fight in the Middle East is against Muslims fighting Muslims, not really Muslims against Christians. As we have just read the wonderful word from 2 Corinthians, Paul is writing those words. This is the moment of opportunity for us. Paul, who was, if I may say so, indulge you, was one of the first earliest terrorists, by the way. Do you know that? He terrorized Christians. He would go into a town, drag Christians out, and persecute them. Christians were frightened by Saul, And that Saul, when he was confronted by the power of Jesus Christ, was transformed and became Paul. Do you know where Paul began his ministry? In Syria. We're concerned about destruction of Syria. In the straight street in Damascus, Paul was converted. His entire mission operation was out of the ports of Syria. He took the gospel. He was the ambassador for the Gentiles. The church would have, if it remained in Jerusalem, it would have died. But as it moved out into Antioch, into the rest of the Gentile world, Paul took the gospel to the ends of the earth. Because the God's love cannot be limited to any one place, any one group of people. He loves all people. He loves all people, including the Arabs. Arabs need the gospel just as much as anybody else. That is my passion. We need to be ready with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But after conversion, he became a new man. We read that wonderful verse. He embraced Jesus Christ. Changed hearts will change our perspective. That's what we are seeing in the Middle East. Lebanese for years hated Syrians because there was years of conflict between Lebanese and Syrians. And when they began loving Syrians, the response of the Syrian was amazing. Amazing. Between 1974 to 1990, there were 15 years of civil war between Lebanon. Christian militia fought Muslim militia from Syria. And you will see shortly, a little later, a video of one of our missionaries in Lebanon. He's ministering in a church that had 75 members 5 years ago. 75 members. It now has 1,200 members. Three campuses, 200 home groups. Amazing ministry of what God is doing through them among these refugees. Among the refugees who are losing all inhibition, all fear. And when we love them in the name of Jesus Christ, are embracing Jesus. And Sharbel is one of those men who is working, one of our missionaries we are supporting. Years ago, Sharbel belonged to Christian militia who was fighting the Syrians. He hated Syrians. Syrians looted their homes in Lebanon, invaded them, destroyed their homes, raped their women. And yet when he saw the Syrians come, he was angry, man. He was angry. How dare they come as refugees into our country? But God touched him. God changed him. When God changed him, he began loving the Syrians. And the response of the Syrians was amazing. He not only works among Syrians, he works among Iraqi Kurds. He works among even some Armenians are in his congregation. His church is a Syrian church at the Resurrection Church, where we keep all our funds, where our operation to the 8 countries is located. So I want us, if we can briefly look at the 1 minute video of Sharbel in Syria, or rather Syrian ministry in Lebanon.
Years ago, Sharbel was dedicated to fighting the Syrians through a Christian militia. God powerfully changed his life, and he is now serving among those he used to persecute. He pastors a congregation of Syrians, Iraqis, Jordanians, and Armenians. Both he and his wife, Adele, are heavily invested in house groups, discipleship, making sure that their families and communities are being taken care of. Many of these are refugees who are fleeing wars and conflicts. At the Syrian Resurrection Church, they are finding relief in the presence of the Lord, especially when they come and meet together as one in the house of the Lord.
كثير الناس لما يجوا لهون بنحسهم فرحانين لانهم عم بيرتاحوا بمحضر الرب وخاصه لما يجوا على الكنيسه ويسمعوا لصوت الرب كل سؤال كنا نسالهم هي شو بتشعر لما تجي لهون عم بيقول انه بشعر بسلام براحه وعم حس بحضور الرب بهذا المكان
In 2 Corinthians, the word that was read for us is the amazing words of Paul admonishing Christians. He says, this is the appointed time. Now is the appointed time, the day of salvation. This is the day of salvation. The word that Paul used there for time is kairos. It is not chronos. There are two words in Greek for time. One is chronos, which is a chronological time. There is a time we see hour by hour, day by day, month by month. We flip the calendar and the dates are moving on. That is a chronological time. But that's not the word Paul used here for time. The word that he used is kairos. It is time that is pregnant with meaning. This is God's appointed time. The same word that Paul uses in Galatians 4 when he says, when the time has fully come, that the appropriate time, God sent his son Jesus Christ, born of a man, woman, born in the world as a child, a natural birth, to redeem those who are under the sin. That time is a time that God chooses. When God chooses, he ordains it, he empowers it. This is the time that God has chosen to reveal himself to the Arabs. Long-time missionaries, we've lived for many years in the Middle East. They said, there is no breakthrough in the Middle East. It's so difficult to reach the Arabs with Jesus Christ, with the power of the gospel. They're so hard-hearted. They're violent. In the past, missionaries would convert Muslims, and when they became followers of Jesus Christ, they were so afraid for their life, they would extract them. They would say, how can I get a visa for this guy to go to Australia, or to Canada, or to US, or to Europe? It was called conversion and extraction. We don't extract anymore. When I first met our president of our seminary, wonderful man of God, I asked him, Brother Ghassan, what is your mission here? Survive. We wanted to survive, he said. After 20 years, if you go to a seminary, we have young faculty members from all over the world. They don't talk about survival. We want to flourish. We want to flourish right in the Middle East, be embedded, remain where they are with their own families, among their own communities, and share the good news of the gospel. Not take them out. They are emboldened. They feel God has given them a mission to remain there and share the good news of the Jesus Christ. This is God's appointed time. And we believe this is the time we must engage the Arab world. I want to give you a statistic. You may be a little bit surprised. You know, Israel has a population of 6 million Jews. Can you venture to guess how many full-time Western missionaries are located in Israel? 2,000. Give one or two here and there, 2,000. In the rest of the Arab world, with 21 countries, 275 million people, can you venture to guess how many foreign missionaries are located in those 21 countries among 275 million people? There are 1,500 foreign missionaries working in 21 countries among 275 million people. Either through indifference or fear, Christian missions don't seem to be reaching out to the Arabs. If I calculate, there is one missionary for every 3,000 people in Israel. There's one missionary for every 183,000 people in the Arab world. We will never be able to reach the Arabs with the gospel of Jesus Christ, waiting for a call to happen. Arabs are ready, willing, and able. They love the Lord. They want to share the good news with their neighbors. How do we empower the Arabs to take the gospel to the Arabs? That is the challenge of our time. I want to share with you stories, some of those who are coming to faith in Christ. From northern Syria, a place called Hama. Hama is the hotbed of Sunni Muslims. Years ago, father of Bashar al-Assad, who is now ruling Syria, maybe in 1985, during the time of President Reagan, there was a bombing of that city, Hama. He literally flattened the city. Overnight, bulldozers came and put tar felt over it, and nobody even knew there was a city there. In 1985, we didn't have the satellites to find out what has happened there. But now, his son is doing the same thing, bombing that region. One of the farmers, one night as he was sleeping, he saw in his mind, probably a dream, probably a vision, he saw the airplanes of Bashar al-Assad coming and hovering in Hama region. and children were playing in the fields. And as the plane swooped down, the children literally ran in all directions. And two children or three children ran up a tree that was in the middle of the field, and they were climbing the tree. And in his mind, he saw the face of Jesus Christ come right across there and moved across his vision. And he woke up with a start, and he discovered it was a dream. It was a dream. He forgot all about it. 2-3 months later, that dream became a reality when the government planes came and started bombing the children. And the two children that climbed the tree survived were his own children. He came to Lebanon, lost his property, lost his home, destroyed by bombing. He was carrying his children asking, "Who is Jesus? Tell me more about Jesus. Jesus saved my children, saved my family." He came to us, one of our workers that you have not seen here, Samar, amazing, amazing student of mine who's one of the greatest evangelists that I have ever met. She's barely 28 years old. She led them to faith in Jesus Christ. The second story that of a Syrian woman is Fatme. Fatme comes from Aleppo. Aleppo is a town that you may be hearing in the news some days ago, was completely flattened. And 3 years ago, Fatme's husband was kidnapped. And every day she would hear some rumors, "Oh, somebody saw your husband in that town. Oh, maybe he's there. I think we spotted him there." Every day she was waiting for scraps of information so that she can know what happened to my husband. But when the war became too much and they completely destroyed Aleppo, she came with the two children. And she landed in a place called Naba, where you saw Sharbel ministering among the crowded area of Naba, with 40,000 Syrians in that little neighborhood. And she was gradually introduced to faith in Christ. She came to home groups. Eventually, she accepted Jesus Christ. She became a leader of the home group. Her heart is still wounded. She's still waiting to hear about her husband. But Jesus is beginning to heal her wound. She has fallen in love with Jesus Christ, has given a new sense of hope and direction in her life. She is preparing to go back to Syria when wars cease. Many Syrians are wanting to go back. Muslims who have come to faith in Jesus Christ, farmers, they say, "We will give you land. You can build church in our land. You don't have to pay anything for it." This is what is happening among the Syrian and Iraqi refugees in Lebanon. This is a revival. If this has happened in any other part of the world, it would be considered a revival. People would be writing about it. The pastor of the church, which now has overwhelming number of Muslims, has an enormous challenge. He's also one of my students. And I said, "You know, Hikmat, it's your responsibility to write a book now. You have to be... You're discovering something unique, how to minister to a congregation that is overwhelmingly Muslim converts." What a transformation of happening in the Middle East. I want to really... I was recently in Egypt. We have 4 missionaries we're supporting in Egypt. I was filming this guy in Almania, in southern Egypt. And this pastor is Samir, wonderful man of God, again, one of my students, one of the first batch of students I had the joy of teaching. And his church, and above his church, is his apartment. We were sitting on the terrace of his house, and when the call for prayer came, this was the Ramadan, period of Ramadan, there were many, many people on the streets. When the call came to break the fast, everybody disappeared, like ants disappeared. I said, "Samir, what happened to them?" "Oh, they're all having their meal." And a little later, they started reciting prayers from Quran. I counted 4 mosques around the church. I told the pastor's wife, Iman, I said, "I guess, Iman, there are 4 mosques around your church." He says, "No, there are 7 mosques." I said, "How do you feel? Do you feel threatened? Are you anxious?" She says, "No, This is where God wants us. Amazing witness and the power of the gospel of Arabs who come to faith in Christ, continuing to remain there and to share the good news of the gospel. And I want to share with you a short video of him. It's an amazing story. Samir, the pastor, his mother was killed. And if you would just bear with you half a second, his mother was killed by Islamic militants, Samir's mother. And they caught the killer, and the police officer called him, "Hey, we got the guy who killed your mother. Would you like to come?" When he went there, that guy broke down and asked Samir, "I'm sorry I killed your mother." Samir says, "I forgive you in the name of Jesus Christ." Amazing story. It's a 4-minute video. Look at that.
Egypt is a vast country and a gateway into the Arab world. It has a large population of almost 98 million people, and almost 85% of them are Muslims. It also has a significant minority of Christian community. It is often called the cradle of civilization, and yet there is a strong group of militant Muslims, and Christian minority feel beleaguered and persecuted.
حياتي قبل ما اتقابل مع الرب ما كانتش حياة سهلة. يعني ممكن اخرج من بيتي انا مش عارف ان كنت هرجع ولا مش هرجع. ممكن حد ينتقم مني اذيته فهم ينتقم مني اموت وقتها. ممكن انا موت حد. فديت كان شكل الحياة. اما المقابلة بتاعتي مع ربنا لقيت المسيح في وشي كده هو ظهر لي بصورة واضحة قدام عيني. بعديها كان خادم ربنا بعته لحياتي. كان دايما يجي يكلمني ويقول لي كلمة واحدة، ربنا بيحبك، هو عايزك. اتفاجئت ان الحزن ده يتغير بفرح، وانا ماشي في الشارع انا لو مش خايف ان انا موت، ومش خايف ان تنتهي حياتي النهاردة، وحتى لو انتهت خلاص انا مرتاح من ناحية ابديتي. حاليا من اهلي وعيلتي الشخصية ما عنديش حد. اخر حد كان موجود هي امي، هي بنتي في الإيمان، وكانت صلاتها ودموعها فرقة معي قوي. المهم جالي يوم الحد الصبحية تليفون من ماما، من التليفون بتاعها. جريت أنا ومراتي قلنا أكيد في حاجة. رحنا هناك، رحنا لقيناها مقتولة، وكان بيتابع معايا رئيس المباحث ومأمور المركز اللي موجود فيه، وقال لي أنا عايز أتكلم معاك بحاجة معينة. أساس الشخص اللي عمل كده مع والدتك هو تحت ايدي، هل عندك الامكانيه ان انت تشوفه؟ قلت له ربنا يديني معونه واشوف. لكن لما جالي الشاب اللي عمل الكلام ده وهو بيقرب مني كان بيبكي بكى شديد، وكان بيقرب علشان يوطى على رجلي علشان يحبها. فانا نزلت خدته في حضني وطبطبت عليه وقلت له انا مسامحك. سمع الكلام ده مذيع من القنوات المشهورة اللي عندنا، وفجأة لقيته بيتصل بي، عمل معايا مقابلة وقال لي أنا سمعت حاجة من ضابط المباحث إن أنت لما تقابلت مع عماد خدته في حضنك وقلت له إن أنا مسامحك. قلت له آه. قال لي جايب منين التعليم ده؟ قلت له ده كلام الكتاب بالنسبة لي، ده اللي أنا بعلم بيه الناس، قل ربنا مدهوني علشان أعيشه. جاب عماد قدامي، وكنت في الوقت ده بتكلم مع عماد بقول له مهما حصل منك يا عماد قدام ربنا وفي حق الناس، لو انت رجعت لربنا هيغفر ليك، مش علشان تفلت من العقاب مني او من الحكومة، لكن اللي ينجيك حقيقي ان انت تكون بكل قلبك تايب قدام ربنا. انما كمان فتح لي باب للخدمة في قلب التلفزيون المصري، فأضافوني أكتر من مرة وفي أكتر من حاجة، وربنا استخدم الأمر دوت أن أنا أقدر أشرح حتة من الكتاب المقدس والرسالة بكل وضوح للناس ومن غير خوف. إن الله بعتني للعالم كرزو ببشارة الإنجيل للخليقة كلها. فناس دخلت عندي أنا في الكنيسة ومفروض ما ينفعش تخش خالص، لكن دخلوا طلبوا صلاة وربنا عمل معهم معجزات، وحصل كتير جدا جدا حاجات، شفاءات وعمل إلهي كبير. احنا بنشوف الناحية التانية ناس مش على بالنا ان هم يقولوا الكلام ده، وتقولوا ربنا ظهر لنا في الأحلام. تعالوا صلوا علشاننا، وعمل ما نقدرش نقول الا ايد ربنا ابتدت تتحرك، ابتدت تتحرك في مصر.
You've just seen the amazing ministries of our enduring love missionaries in Houston. They are living without fear and sharing the good news of the gospel, building the kingdom of God in Egypt. You can partner with us, support us, and pray for us. Thank you. God bless. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, God is opening for us a door of opportunity. I would say actually a window of opportunity in the Arab world. We're not sure how long this window will keep open. We need to be ready. We need to move in through the power of the Holy Spirit. Trust in the Holy Spirit to move forward with these men and women, Arabs themselves, to take the gospel to their own people. Arab believers are willing and able to share the good news of the gospel. It costs $10,000 a year to support one Arab missionary. I wouldn't want to tell you how much it costs to place a family of four American missionaries in the Middle East. I would want you to pray for them. If God is leading you to support the ministries of the Arab World Initiative or the Enduring Love, work through Pastor Ken and how you could be part of our ministry and support. Thank you for your prayers, for your support of our ministry, which enables us to remain in that part of the world and train and enable Arabs to be in the forefront of changing the world for Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for the great privilege you've given me to be here in Mount Washington Baptist Church, to experience their love, experience their acceptance, and their passion for mission. We pray for Pastor Ken. We pray for Associate Pastor Osterbrock. I had the privilege of being with Aaron and Valerie recently in World Mission Conference. Thank you for the calling you're giving young people to reach out to the world. Thank you for the great privilege, Father. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, I pray. Amen.